As always, I do desire your prayers. It's always, and I think we'll always will be, a bit nerve-wracking to get up and say you're going to speak something on the Lord's behalf. To me, that's always a bit of a fearful thing to do. So I do desire y'all's prayers. So the topic of my burden this evening is signs and wonders. And I'd like to start off reading in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, starting in verse 46. So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. Now what struck me here in this story is, what does our faith hinge on? You know, this father went to Jesus, and he knew Jesus had done some stuff, had done miracles, and this father goes to Jesus, and he says, My son's about to die, I want you to heal him. And Jesus' response almost seems a little odd, doesn't it? Jesus' response basically is, you just want to see some signs and wonders. That's all you want to see. And I question ourselves sometimes in our faith. What is it that we have faith for? Do we have faith for just simple answers? Or do we desire the signs and wonders? Do we want the big flashy things? Now, I did notice the father's response to Jesus. He didn't deny that he wanted a miracle. The father didn't deny that at all. The father said, Please. Please come heal my son. And I'm intrigued by Jesus' next response. Because his next response is, Go thy way, thy son liveth. No miracle. No, do you want the son to go back 10 degrees? Do you want the son to go forward 10 degrees? No, do you want the fleece, the water on top or underneath the fleece? And it got me to thinking, what does our faith hinge on? The father, no doubt, probably could have said, Well, Lord, can you give me a sign that it's done, something? But no, just, okay, you can go now, your son's healed. Now the man, it said, believed and left. And as he's going back home, you know, with no sign, no wonderful thing done, no movement of the sky, nothing to indicate that anything had really changed. From the outside, his circumstances, as far as he could tell, was the same. Except Jesus had said, Your son lives. And of course, he's met by the servants. They bring in good news. Your son's alive. Well, when did it happen? He apparently lived a good ways off because this was the next day. And they're like, well, it was 7 o'clock yesterday morning. And he's like, yeah, that's when Jesus said he was going to be healed. So I would like to ask us, can we grasp faith like that? Can we believe when we see nothing? Absolutely nothing. I was reading a book out in Pacoima about S.O. Susai, one of the early preachers. And one time he was told by the Lord he needed to go travel. I think he was going to travel to a meeting. He didn't have any money. He needed to travel by train. The Lord said, well, go. So he went. He goes down to the train station. And no money. So he goes up to the ticket counter. Is there a ticket in my name here? The answer is, no, we don't have any ticket for you. So he walks away. And he knows that the train he needs to be on, because the meeting's at a certain time. This train goes that way. If you don't get on at least by this train, so he goes back up to the counter after a bit. Do you have a ticket in my name? Nope, no ticket. Clock's steady ticking back through. I don't remember the exact timing. I want to say it seemed like in the story it was like maybe 15 minutes before the train departed. He went up one more time. Do you have a ticket for me? Yes, we do, sir. He got on the train. Now, he'd been told twice, there's no ticket. None. We have nothing for you. But what was he standing on? God had said, go. I'll make a way. What signs and wonders had God given him? Nothing. God had just said, go. Just go. I don't know if any of y'all have read the story about Samuel Morris. Young black fellow out of Africa. Got saved. Wanted to be a preacher. Was told that if he really wanted to learn to preach right, he needed to come to America. So he goes down and he sees this ship. And he prays about it. And he feels like the Lord tells him, that's the ship you're going to go to America on. So he goes out, sees the ship just dropped anchor. And he sees a little boat come down and the men row towards shore. So he runs out there to meet them. And he tells them, my father, of course, meaning God, has said, you're going to take me to America. Captain of the ship looked at him and said, son, we don't carry passengers. Go away. And ran him off. Well, they came back, went back to the boat with the little boy camped out there on the beach. Every time they came in, he was asking them, when could he go to America? After about 3 days of this, they're coming in, and the little boy runs up to the captain and says, my father's told me that tonight you're going to take me on that boat to America. Now the captain's looking at this boy because he had just had two of his sailors desert him. He was shorthanded. So he asked the young boy, well, do you know anything about ships? And my understanding is the tribe of people that Samuel Morris came from, they did have familiarity with boats and all that. So the captain assumed that he had some and said, well, how much do you want? The young boy said, just get me to America. I'll basically work for the trip. Now, what assurances had he had? What signs and wonders had been given to him that he was going to get on board that ship? Anything? Every time he had talked to the captain, he'd been told what? No. Had even been told, we don't carry passengers. We're a freight ship. You couldn't even buy your way on board this ship. But you know what God knew? He could work his way on board that ship. Why? Because I like to think God said, those two fellows, I need to make room for Samuel. You guys get off the ship. There's somebody else coming on in your place. Let's turn to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, starting in verse 9. Now, this is a story we're familiar with. It says, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now, he was wanting to be healed of his leprosy. He had been told by the little servant girl that there's a man that can heal you. His king had wrote a letter to the king of Israel. The king of Israel had said, why is this other king picking on me? I can't heal this man. But the prophet said, hold on, send him my way. I can, through God. So Naaman comes up to the house and he's told, the prophet doesn't come out. He just tells him, go wash in that river 7 times and you're going to be clean. Let's read here. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call out on the name of his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. What was his expectations? What was he looking for? Well, there should be signs. There should be wonder. The God, a majestic God, is going to do something. Surely there's going to be some manifestation of this marvelous thing other than go wash in that dirty old river. Now, lucky for him, continuing on, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of the little child, and he was clean. Now think about some of the emotions stated here. Anger and rage. Because there was no signs. There was no wonder. There was nothing miraculous in being told to go wash in a muddy old river. Where is the honor accorded somebody that can get a letter from one king to another? Where's the prestige that should happen? Where's at least the pomp and circumstance and ceremony of this healing? What God just tells you to go do something and doesn't even send his prophet out the door to tell you himself? Sends the servant. What does our faith hinge on? Does it hinge on a show? Is that how we believe? Now his servants, they spoke to him kindly, didn't they? From as far as I can tell from the story, he, even though he apparently could go into a rage, he must have been a decent man. Everybody seemed to look out for his best interest. And so the servant said, father, if you'd been tasked to do something big and wonderful, would you have done it? Yeah. So why not just go wash in the river? It's not hard. You know, I've thought about it. Do you think Naaman ever took a bath? I mean, we don't really know, but I would assume that he bathed occasionally, and he's told to just go take 7 baths in a row, and you'll be clean. That was it. That was what he was tasked with doing, just 7 baths in a row and you'll be clean. Does the Lord ever sometimes tell you, just do something simple? Just believe. In the case of the father, he told the father, go away. Your son's already healed. You don't need to stand here anymore. You can leave now. Now let's move to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 5. Another familiar story. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now here we see the centurion. And he went to Jesus for healing. He did go to Jesus for healing. And he said, can you heal my servant? And Jesus says, sure I can. I'll go to your house. And what was the man's response? Oh no, Lord, no. I'm not worthy to even have you come under my roof. I'm a man under authority. I'm a servant. I do have servants under me. All you have to do is speak the word. He recognized the absolute authority of Jesus Christ. When he made that statement to Jesus Christ, he was acknowledging to Christ, nothing will prevent your word from taking its place. You are authority over all. Just speak it. That's all I need from you. And Jesus said what? I haven't found so great a faith. Why? Has it ever occurred to us that maybe the man didn't ask for a sign? He didn't ask for a wonder? He didn't ask Jesus to come in and lay his hands on him? All he said was, Jesus, I just need you to say the word. If you speak it, it's done. I don't need to see anything. I don't need you to come and look at anything. You don't even have to get close. Where you're at right now, Lord, is you can heal anything from anywhere. Just say the word. And I know my servant's healed. When we're beseeching Christ for things and reaching out in faith, do we recognize his authority like the way the centurion did? Do we stop and consider that if he tells us, yes, I'm willing to do that, what that yes means? The power behind that word? When the one leper came to him and said, Lord, I know if thou wilt, you can heal me. And what was Christ's response? I will. And the man was healed. Just the words. Just something so simple. But it requires us to look beyond signs and wonders. It requires us to actually look at God for who he is. What does God need to prove to us? What should he have to prove to us? If you believe he's the God, the great I am, isn't his word good enough? Shouldn't it be good enough? Let's go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, starting in verse 39. Now this is talking about Lazarus. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of this people which standeth by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we, for this man doth many miracles? Now, I don't really want to focus on the story of Lazarus so much, but the ending of it there. Here we have a sign and a wonder. A man that had been dead 4 days, raised from the grave. Anybody think that's not a pretty powerful sign of power? Wouldn't it be a wonder knowing that people are like, well, that man's been dead. I mean, what does his own sister say? Well, you know, Jesus, we don't want to open that tomb up. He's been in there 4 days. It's not going to be nice. But Jesus said, I want people to know this. I am doing a sign and a wonder. But did you notice there at the end, not everybody believed the sign and the wonder? Even when he does perform them, there will be people that their faith will not grasp what they see. And to me, that's why it's so intriguing, the more I've thought and studied on that, where Jesus had told the first father that we read about, you've just come for signs and wonders so that you can believe. You want to bolster your faith by seeing something. You think that by watching something miraculous happen, your faith's going to get stronger. It won't, not necessarily. For some people it will, but for some people their faith won't take it in. And to me, we have that one song, Faith is Believing, Simply Receiving. Do you know that is what the Lord wants from us when we go to Him in prayer, when we seek His answer for things, when we seek His face? He wants us to approach Him. He wants us to seek His will in the matter. And then when He tells us what He's going to do, if He's willing to tell us that, sometimes He does, sometimes He doesn't. Do you know we have something we can stand on? Jesus said there, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me, and I know that Thou hearest me always. Jesus was admitting here, Father, I didn't have to speak this out loud, but I want these people to know that I'm talking to You. I want them to understand that Your word is good. It's true. And so He brought that out. And He goes, I know that Thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me. I want us now to move to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. Now this is talking about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange place, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now think about Abraham. The Lord told him, you're not going to ever possess this land, but you're going to inherit it. Think about that statement. You're going to die, but somehow inherit this land. Any of y'all, if somebody came up to you and said, you know what, you're going to have a great inheritance, you're just going to get it after you're dead, how would you feel? Would you feel that, well, thanks for the blessing? Or would you feel like, what's the point? I'm going to be dead. Do you know Abraham was looking beyond what we see? He was looking at the true God. What city was he looking for? Would the city New Jerusalem potentially ring a bell? The foundations, whose builder and maker is God, the city that's going to come down out of heaven? You know, he traveled his whole life on earth, never owning the land, looking for a city that, dare I say it, probably will never be on earth, and died, as far as a person using their eyes would say, without ever getting there. Never made it. But I would challenge us, did he? It said he rejoiced to see Jesus' day. Why? Because I can see the city on beyond it. I can see the path still before me. That city, I will get there. The Lord's promise is still true. It's not limited by what we see. I would challenge us. When the Lord gives us a promise, can we see them as real and concrete as we should? Or does it seem like an iffy thing, a nebulous thing, something that, well, maybe God's going to change his mind. Maybe he's not going to do what he told me. Many times in the Bible, when Jesus was responding to people's request, he used a phrase that has struck me. As your faith is, so be it. As you can believe it, you can have it. I would challenge us. What does our faith hinge on today? Signs and wonders, or just the simple word of God? Y'all pray for me.